This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 7:35 a.m. on this Wednesday, July 18th. Han, Chuang and Joyce keeping you company all the way till 10 a.m. right here on the Morning Run. Time now to look at global markets. Now, Fed Chair Jerome Powell has appeared before the U.S. Congress to present his semi-annual monetary policy testimony. Now, it appears he might be in favor of more rate hikes as the U.S. economy grows considerably stronger. On the line, we have Dodge Dolan, Chief Investment Officer with Lender and Fuse Capital Managers in New York. Good morning, Dodge. So, more Fed rate hikes in the future?
Good morning, and you hit the nail right on the head. Yes, he was very straightforward in his testimony. He focused on what his responsibilities as the head of our Federal Reserve are. He did respond to some of the ancillary questions in a forthright and honest way. And yes, he really will be focusing on the strength of our economy, our jobs, our level of employment and unemployment. And so he will have a very narrow vision as to what he needs to do. And yes, it appears that he will continue to increase interest rates in a very disciplined, slow manner.
Hi, Dodge. Powell also spoke briefly against protectionism. So how much will global trade tensions feature in the Fed's monetary policy outlook?
Yes. Well, the easy answer is not one single bit. But if you go behind it, what he will be forced to deal with is not the global trade tensions directly, but the impact of global trade tensions on our economy, labor, unemployment, employment. So it will have a secondary, it will be very important, but the way he will have it perceived when the Federal Reserve makes their decisions, it will be based on our economy, our jobs, etc., as they are affected by the global trade tensions, which will continue and they will play a part, but at least the U.S. economy and the results of the trade tensions will be more of the focus. And therefore, I think it will be easier for the markets and people in general to accept what the Federal Reserve's decisions are, because they're being viewed as economic and not political.
Dutch, how much cognizance do you think the Fed will pay to the fact that bond yields on the benchmark 10-year T-bills are 2.86% and continue to be compressed, as well as the fact that the dollar index continues to sit below 95, which is obviously reflective of the dollar strength? How much of these two elements will be very much in the Fed's policy-making perspective?
Internally, when they talk amongst each other, they will be very important. And the fact that you're mentioning the fact that these are important, they have become important. They have been what the Federal Reserve has been monitoring in the past. But now they will come to the fore because it's an indirect reflection of what's going on outside economics. So, yes, they will be very important. And, yes, we're getting to fairly critical levels, and so we will have to see. But when the Federal Reserve makes its decisions going forward each month, I think it will be much clearer and much more obvious as what their decisions are, and it'll be more accepted by our markets because it'll be really based more on the results and the economic sense as opposed to the political reasons.
And yet you think that the Fed will continue to hike rates. What's the end game here, Dodge? And what kind of, messages will Fed policy send to other central banks in Japan and the European Central Bank in terms of, normalizing rate policy among the other big economies?
Oh, boy, that's a tough one, and you're right. It does send a very different message to other countries who are in a very different level now relative to what the U.S. is, including the European community as a whole, the UK, et cetera. You're absolutely right. I suspect that ultimately we will come back to a more regular increase, and then no increases will be necessary. I suspect that will occur over time, and I suspect the impact of what's going on in Japan, for example, and of course there's this very, very big trade agreement between the EU and Japan. I suspect this will start to be affect our decisions in terms of the speed with which we increase interest rates and the perceived horizon that we are looking at in order to bring us back to a more normal level.
Dodge, speaking about the Japan and EU signing a trade deal, how much could this agreement offset the volatility stemming from the U.S.-China trade war?
Well, I got to tell you, it's huge. I mean, it's a massive trade deal. It creates an open trade zone for more than 600 million people. I mean, the EU and Japan, together, they account for about one-third of the whole world GDP. So this is huge. And the other thing I notice is the way it's being perceived, the way it's being communicated, it's a trade agreement that is not a zero-sum game, but a win-win for both parties, for all the involved parties. So, yes, it's going to be very important. It's a deal that eases the flow of cheese in one direction and cars in the other, but it's just so huge, it affects so much. It probably will, in the short term, bring more a pacification of reaction to trade policy and trade disagreements. It should indicate a way that the U.S. can negotiate with its allies and others in order to have a win-win situation for both sides. One thing that is different from what Europe and Japan has been able to create is the fact that the U.S. suffers from China stealing its technology, and that I honestly don't know how we're going to be able to get around that from a trade policy point of view. But the fact that you have 600 million people coming to an agreement that's a win-win for both sides, this will certainly affect the progress that, and hopefully will speed up the progress that the U.S. and other countries will have in dealing with their trade negotiations.
Dodge, we'll get to oil in just a bit, but just to summarize what you've shared with us so far. So on one hand, you've got a data-dependent Fed, and they've provided plenty of forward guidance. And then at the same time, you've got the tremendous prospects, or huge prospects, as you mentioned earlier, that has come from this Japan and EU trade deal. I mean, it could create one of the world's largest liberalized trade zones. So what kind of opportunities are you sensing given those two themes? Again, number one, the Japan-EU trade deal. And number two, the Fed's forward guidance.
We see the opportunities short-term, more trading-oriented, because there's a lot of volatility that's coming back in the market. Look at oil, for example. So we see short-term opportunities on both the long and short side of the market. We're looking at sector rotation that's now speeding up. It's very hard to come to grips with the fact that long-term sectors that will be favorable over the long term will face a great deal of volatility short term, and you have to be able to accept the volatility if you want to make long term perceptible trade decisions. And so what we're seeing now is a greater rotation with a greater domination of ETFs that reflect a whole sector as opposed to individual companies. We're hoping that we'll get back to a more normal sector rotation where we can make investments on individual stocks for the longer term. But for now, what we're doing is we are trying to ride the volatility in the market, particularly on the long side.
Dodge, branch futures have shed almost 9% so far this month. I think this past week alone, crude oil saw two of its largest single-day dollar declines in years. So what's your near-term outlook on oil?
Well, yes, oil is something else. It's returning to volatility. The volatility is becoming more like the commodity volatility that we used to have. But what we're seeing now is really based on several reasons. Return of oil from Libya, the lifting of force majeure in the key oil stream in Nigeria, anticipated return of oil from an outage in Canada, increased production in Saudi Arabia, the prospect of SVR released from the U.S., all this is affecting the supply and demand. And so when one has to measure the political volatility that's being seen, but really when one is in the pits trading oil or oil-related, commodity-related stocks, one really has to ignore the political reason for the volatility and just go back to supply and demand. And so therefore one looks at each of these items that are coming up geopolitically and how they affect supply and demand. And what we're seeing is that if we can hold 70, 71, or even back down to 68, we suspect that there'll be further move to the upside. But as long as there's volatility, as long as there is a perception that supply may increase, we do see some, I don't want to say danger, because if you're driving and need oil, you guess you're going to like this, the fact that the price of oil may go down. So we're watching 68 to 70 in terms of support for now.
68 to 70, got it. Hey, Dodge, always a pleasure. We appreciate your insights, especially during these volatile times. That was Dodge Dorland, Chief Investment Officer with Lender & Fuse Capital Managers in New York. Stay tuned. We'll look at some local business news right here on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.